You're listening to Burning Brightly, episode 45 with guest Matt Peet. Matt Peet is a funnel builder, ClickFunnels training facilitator, and he runs the Focused Funnel Builders Mastermind. He has worked with people and companies like John Lee Dumas, Podcast Movement, Steve Larson, BuzzFeed, and Disney World. And today, he's going to teach us what a funnel is, how we can build one ourselves, why they're so important, and how they can make us a ton of money in our coaching businesses. So let's dive into funnels with Matt Peet. This is Burning Brightly, a podcast for Christian moms who are feeling called to build a business and share their light with the world. I'm Bonnie Wiscombe, a life coach, mom, and entrepreneur, and I'm honored to be your guide as you face this business building adventure full of highs, lows, and everything in between. This is where we help each other find the courage to shine. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am so excited to have a guest here today. Oh, our first male guest. Welcome, Matt Peet.
I am honored. I did not know I was the first male guest. That's
awesome.
You
should feel very special.
I do.
Well, we love talking to women who are building businesses, but we know that the men know a lot. And I think sometimes we let ourselves get overwhelmed or intimidated by the guys in the bro marketing field, and we don't know what questions to ask. But Matt is a guest today because he's going to teach us about funnels. And you guys know I've talked about them before, but we're going to break it down very simply today because this is one aspect of business, like hard skills that I wish I would have learned years and years and years ago and kept it simple for myself so that I could have seen success even earlier. So Matt, give us just a quick introduction to who you are and why you are into funnels now.
Yeah, quick intro to me. I got my start doing videography, and I specifically did weddings for about 8 years, where I showed up to the wedding, shot a video, edited it the day of, we call it a same day edit. And then while in that process, I learned what funnels were through a series of some fortunate and some unfortunate events. And then in 2020, when the world shut down, I was stuck living in a camper for a year, and I discovered what funnels actually were and what they could be used for and how powerful they were. And that just led me down this rabbit hole. And now I just have like a great passion for building funnels and helping people grow their business using funnels.
Okay, I love it. And I love people that have passion for what they do, because that's the whole point of becoming an entrepreneur, is doing something you love, right? And that you'd love to help other people with. So let's start off super basic. What in the world is a funnel, and why do we want to have one?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try to keep it as simple as possible. So a funnel acts like a website. It has a URL that you can go to. You say, hey, go to mywebsite.com, but it operates differently. So a funnel is there to guide people through a specific set of actions to get a lead or a sale. So when you land on a website, you have your homepage, you have your about page, your blog page, your contact page, then you have your social media links, and it sends everybody everywhere. It is just white noise with their attention being pulled in 3,000 different places. With a funnel, they land there, and the only point of that funnel is to convert on that sales message on that page. So when they land there, they see a video about your sales message. They see your headline about the sales message. Everything is to provide value that you're trying to provide for one goal.
Okay. I love that. You know, what I'm seeing too is that as people clean up their websites and get a little bit more minimalist in the design, they're essentially trying to create this little mini funnel above the fold, right? It's like, take this one action, because we're realizing that the websites of 10, 15 years ago, where it was just a bunch of garbage all over the place, people were just confused, right? And confused customers bounce. So we're trying to make things so specific and so easy to understand. One analogy I really like when it comes to funnels is like, when you go into a giant store and just wander around, that's kind of like a website, right? Like, I don't know what I want to buy. I don't know what's better than something else. Sometimes I don't even know what the prices are, especially if it's like a, you know, a higher end, say a clothing boutique or something. But a funnel is almost like walking in and you get a customer service representative at the door that's like, let me hold your hand and take you where you need to go. And they ask you questions and they find out, right? Like, it's this almost personalized guide through the sales process. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I love that analogy. It's like you said, like having somebody, you go somewhere and you're like, hey, I'm looking for an outfit. I'm going on a date this Friday night and I want to look a certain way. They say, awesome. I know exactly what you need. They take you over to get the earrings. They take you over to get the dress. They take you over to get the shoes. It's just what you need without all of the other noise.
Yes.
I love that. That's great.
I love that. Yeah. And the thing about funnels too, is that when we could talk a little bit more about this later when we get into them, but we can more easily figure out why people are not getting to sales, right? So let's talk about that. Don't quite understand funnels yet. We have a website, but we don't know why we're not converting. Like, why are people, are they just confused? Do they not know what to do next? What's the first step in helping that?
Yeah, a lot of times it's like we've been talking about, there's so much going on, just one on a website, two on the internet. So if they don't have like a clear, concise call to action, like you said, with websites, people have started to go more minimalist. I mean, think about the days when people actually used to go to yahoo.com and like all of the things everywhere on the screen. And, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's overwhelming. And then Google, you go to Google and it's literally a search bar. It says Google. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple. Google took over. People want that simplicity. You know, they say a confused mind always says no. So if you say, hey, go to my website, check out my business, they go there and they land on your homepage and it's just, okay, here's a text block about one thing you do. And then, oh, they also apparently have a podcast and then they have this thing. It's like, instead, if you gave them a direct call to action, you know, hey, go check out this thing I created for you. And they go there and the entire page just talks about that one thing. It is very clear what value you offer and what they need to do to get that value.
Yes. Yes. And one thing I love about funnels is that you are setting yourself up as the expert, right? Too many of my mm-hmm. clients, and I don't know if this is a, like, we like to people please as women or something, but too many of them are like, well, I don't want to tell them what to do. What if they want to come listen to my podcast? Or what if they aren't ready for a call and they just want to do this other thing? And we think that by giving them options, we're somehow helping them more than limiting their options. So can you speak to that? Why is it so important to limit the options that they have?
Yeah. If you're listening to this and you have a business, you're starting something, you have a passion, kind of like we have here, me and Bonnie, you have a passion for whatever you're going to get into, whatever you're doing. It's, in my opinion, doing a disservice to those people by sending them to a website where they have all these different options of things they can do, because you're not going to be able to provide as much value. If you send them to a funnel and you say, hey, here's a free lead magnet that I made for you. Here's, you know, a PDF or a webinar replay or whatever your lead magnet is. Here's this thing that provides just a crazy amount of value, absolutely free. One, you're providing value right there, right off the bat from the first interaction. There's one step and it is value. And then they're on your email list. So then there's a saying, I can't remember who said it, but they said having a healthy email list is as close as you can get to printing money. So having that email list is vital in an online business and any business, honestly, but you get to get that email list and then you get to nurture that person through a nurture sequence where they're getting to know you and they get to learn what other value you can provide. Then you can start to sell them. You can, in that nurture sequence, tell them about the podcast, tell them about all the other stuff, tell them where they can find you on Instagram or TikTok or wherever. But once you have that email address, you're starting to own your traffic at that point, which is a very valuable piece of traffic.
You brought that up because so many of us want to just spend all our time on Instagram or all these other things that we see other business owners doing. But in the end, if someone else controls our traffic, we are always going to be falling flat because we cannot reach them when we want to reach them. And so pulling people in and immediately getting them on our list. And like what you're saying is that we can share all of the things that we have, the podcast and the blog and the resources here and there and give them many offers. Maybe they will opt in one way or another, but we don't want to spam them with that at the very beginning because the problem becomes overwhelm, confusion, right?
Absolutely. You don't, like you said multiple times now, confused mind always says no. You don't want to confuse them.
Let's break it down. What does a basic funnel look like? You mentioned bringing them to a step where they just have one option and then you're pulling them on your email list, right?
Yeah. If you want to just the basic funnel, like the starter funnel, it's called a lead squeeze funnel. You can Google this. You can look it up. Lead squeeze funnel is basically like we talked about. You have a lead magnet. They land on the page. It has like a headline. It'll have like a picture of the lead magnet. If it's digital, you have like e-cover, you know, design. So you can see, okay, this is like a pamphlet or a one page or whatever. And then there's an email capture box and it says, put in your name and email address so I know where to send this thing to. They put it in, sends them to the thank you page. Once they're on the thank you page, you say, hey, here's the download button. You can also email it to them, but you say, here's the thing that you wanted, you know, hope it helps you. And then on that thank you page, you can go from there. So on the thank you page, you already have their email address. You have that person as a contact. Your email sequence is going to go off now because, like I said, we want to nurture that person. We want them to know and like you, right? Because that's who people want to do business with. So you'll have emails going off that nurture that lead so they get to know more about you. They get to know what other things you're doing, whether it's a podcast or whatever. But then on the thank you page, you can also include that stuff there because they've gone through your funnel. You've achieved the goal of getting them their thing. And now you can say, hey, did you know I also have a podcast? You should go check it out and subscribe. Or, hey, did you know I also have a course that I sell that's going to help you do X thing? You should go check that out and then send them to your next offer. So it's always like single-minded focus on what the next goal is.
Yeah, I love the thing that I want to bring up here too is that when someone lands on your landing page and is interested enough to give you their email, they are really engaged at that point, right? Like, what else can we give them? What else can we offer them to take action? Because the kind of the fan base like cools off a little bit as they, you know, that opt-in right there. So can we maximize that conversion right now if they're ready for it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you have like a free Facebook group that you're trying to grow, on that thank you page, put it there. Like, that's how I like using the thank you pages a lot of times. It's to continue that conversation. Mm. Because like you said, they're engaged. They're hyper aware of who you are and the value you're providing. So if they finish that and they land on the thank you page and you're like, thanks, here's your download. And that's the end of the conversation. You've just ended that conversation right there. And you know, maybe they'll read your emails, maybe not. Maybe it'll take 6 months for them to. But if you say, hey, I have a free Facebook group, or hey, I have a podcast, or hey, I have this other course you can go check out. Maybe you're interested in that, or a membership, or whatever the next thing is, mm-hmm. go check this thing out. It allows them, so the people who are really interested have a way to continue that conversation with you.
Oh, I love that concept, just continuing the conversation. Another thing I see work really well is like a low ticket item of some sort right there, right? Some sort of sale that's 10 or 15 bucks. Like, okay, let me warm you up just a little bit more and give you something with even greater offer. And then you can kind of parse out those who are willing to spend any money on this versus those that aren't, right? So many different ways. And then if you have ad spend going to that landing page, you can kind of recoup some of those losses there as well.
Yeah. Like you said, there's so many different ways to do it. I use Russell Brunson's linchpin method right now, his mm-hmm. linchpin model. So that's what I'm kind of like implementing into my business, all those different steps. But yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways you could do it and just get creative with it. It's like, hey, yeah. what else can I do to provide value to this person? Like you said, kind of warm them up. Because if you said yes to the email, so, you know, like you said, that is a big step, getting somebody's email. They're not going to put their email address on a site they don't trust, you know? So they're already engaged with you. They trust you. Hey, get them to spend $7, you know, maybe get them to spend 15. That's not a lot of money. That's not a huge commitment, but it gets them open to buying from you. And those people, the ones who buy small things, are the ones who will buy bigger things.
Right, right. Exactly. And I love that you're saying there really are so many different ways of creating a funnel. We talk a lot on this podcast about how building a business is a lot just like a science experiment, right? We're just kind of, we got a hypothesis, we're going to try some stuff out, and it's either going to give us the result we want or not, or we're going to tweak it and see if we can get something a little bit better. So I kind of encourage everyone to just try it, like give themselves a single shot to start getting emails this way and see what else you can offer on the back end, see what works, see what doesn't. I recently read a fascinating post in a Facebook group I'm a part of, a business one, where somebody said that they tested a lead magnet that converted really well, and then they just kept changing the graphics and the colors and eventually clicked on a combination of colors that took their conversion from like 5% to like 30%. Like, they just changed colors.
I love that. That's awesome.
So it's so fun and fascinating if we can just keep going and tweaking and trying new things. And as a life coach, I have to always tell my clients to not make it mean anything about you when the conversion is low, right? It's not working. It's not because somebody doesn't like your hair or there's something wrong with you. It's because you just haven't hit on the magical combination yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so easy though to take it personally. Yeah. Like, oh, I must just not be as good as I thought I was. I do that. Literally, I did that today with somebody I was working with. I was like, what is it, me? Like, what's going on here? And they're like, no, dude, you're doing great. Like, keep doing what you're doing. We'll work on the other stuff. Yeah. So yeah, it is easy to take it personal. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So let me hear a little bit about how you built a funnel for your wedding photography business. Because I think a lot of us hear funnel and we're like, well, we have to sell a software for that to work. We're going to be selling services here. A lot of us are life coaches. So tell us how you did that with your service-based business.
Yeah. I mean, all of this online stuff, WordPress, Wix, Squarespace, ClickFunnels, all of these, they're tools. Like, personally, I love ClickFunnels. I work with ClickFunnels. I do a lot with them. I love them for multiple reasons, but I won't get into that because at the end of the day, it's a tool. So if you're out there and you're like, dude, I do not have money for ClickFunnels. I get it. I've been there. Trust me. So the first funnel I ever built for my business was unintentional. So I had a podcast back in the day where I interviewed people, and I had this guy on. He was talking about Facebook ads, and he's like, oh yeah, everybody knows you never run ads to your website homepage. And I just laughed. I chuckled. And he's like, what? I was like, dude, I've been doing that for 2 years and never knew why it didn't work.
Dang it.
And yeah, exactly. He started chuckling. He's like, all right, well, let's talk about it. So basically he's like, here's what you can do. And this is back in 2016. I was charging around $2,000 per wedding at that point. And he's like, write a blog post, write a really like a, what we call a cornerstone piece of content back in the day mm-hmm. with just tons of value, testimonials, all this different stuff gathered in there. Great blog post. And then at the bottom, have a call to action. Be like, hey, if you really need a wedding videographer, you realize you need one at this point, go ahead and go over to the contact page. Had a button there to take them to the contact page. Fill out the contact form so we can save your date. You don't have to sign up. There's no obligation, but we'll put your date on hold for you just to make sure that you have your date saved. And then when I'd run ads, instead of running them just to my website, I would run them to that specific blog post. And my leads and bookings just shot up. I had one, the first one I got when I knew I was onto something. She's like, you're just such a good writer. That hit so hard with me. And like, absolutely, you have a writer in you. I was like, oh my gosh, it's working. It's so cool.
She hired me as a videographer because I'm a good writer. All right.
Exactly. Whatever. Right. Exactly. I was like, this is working, you guys. And so I had I had a podcast. So I was like sharing all of this on that podcast back in the day and started booking more and more, kept using that method. And I didn't realize it at the time. I was just like, hey, I'm sending ads to a blog post, you know? That was a funnel. Yeah. I had an ad that said, hey, you need a wedding videographer. Why you need a wedding videographer, I think was the title of it. And they'd click on the ad. It would send them to that page. There was a video. There was a bunch of copy. Then there was a call to action at the end with an offer. Hey, let me save your date for no cost. They go to fill out the contact form, and then I get them on the phone. What's called an application funnel in my world. I didn't know that's what it was back then. I had no idea. But that's how it can be done. You can do it with basically any website builder. You don't need to spend a lot of money for it. Now, over the years, like I said, I was charging about $2,000 for weddings at that point. By the time I got out of weddings, I had like perfected that system to a point. My average wedding was $8,000 for a day.
Oh my gosh. Awesome.
So again, no income claims. Just gotta make the FTC happy on that. But funnels are really powerful. Really powerful.
And what's so amazing as a content creator, because we're all content creators, right? Like many of us offer services, but we're content creators at heart because that's how we're getting people in, is we're offering this amazing content. And there is so many ways to make completely passive income as a content creator with funnels. I fall into them all the time. I click on an ad. The next thing I know, I'm watching a pre-recorded webinar that just sold me a $2,000 program that I signed up for because it was amazing. and we're just sitting back and letting it run. And this is what I really want to teach my coaches, that you get to help people however you want to. But if you want to make it work as passively as possible, then you get people flowing through this and you have to do so little work. Like, you know, a lot of us are afraid of selling. You don't have to do a lot of selling. You just serve them and give them the one step they need to take next.
Absolutely. And that's why, especially in the ClickFunnels world, I don't know what it is. People come in and they think that the funnel, they think it's a marketing funnel. The funnel is, they're called sales funnels. Mm. So you don't have to do the selling. You set up the funnel that does all of the selling for you. Then you put on your marketer hat and you go and create content. You go on TikTok, you go on Instagram, go guest on podcasts.
Yeah.
Go create content that makes people so interested. They're like, I have to know how I can do more of that thing.
Yeah.
So it fills your funnel for you and you don't have to do the selling. You just get to create awesome content with awesome people.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up how you did your wedding one, because it wasn't kind of the traditional funnel where you were asking for an email and then sending out content. You were just giving the free value to anyone who happened upon that page. And you were driving traffic to it from ads. And then those who were ready were just a click away from scheduling something or setting something up. I also love that you had them, the application type funnel. I would love to hear your insight on this as well, is that there is a difference between asking someone to take a little bit scary action, like hopping on a call with me, versus like applying to work with me or saving a date. What have you seen in your experience that the difference between those two?
So with the application funnels, if you can automate things, then do that. But like with currently with my mastermind, I have a mastermind, the cap on that mastermind is 100 people. So as I was thinking about what kind of funnel I need, it's like, it has to be an application funnel. Because I want to vet everybody that comes into the group. I don't want just random people being able to sign up and join my private Facebook group and be on my Zoom calls, you know? So if you're doing an application funnel, it does add, typically you want to do one for higher price things. So like if you're a coach and you're charging more, you have like, you know, limited availability, that kind of stuff. So if it makes sense, if there's a reason they have to be on that call, because it does take time for you to jump on those calls and fulfill those applications. But they're really powerful because it does show exclusivity. it adds that urgency. It's kind of built in because they're like, oh man, he's got a mastermind. It only has 100 spots. I want to get on a call so I can talk to him about it, see if I'm a good fit. Or, you know, he has a wedding video business where, you know, he can't book more than one wedding on that Saturday. So I want to make sure he saves my date. So I'm going to go fill in that contact form and get on a call with him.
Yeah.
So it adds that sense of urgency. It's kind of built into that funnel type.
Yeah. I love that you took the calendar, right? Made the calendar kind of your sense of urgency. How could a coach do something similar? Like, save a spot in my calendar, or I have a limited number of client openings, or what do you recommend there for a little bit of urgency?
Yeah. I mean, I did this recently with an artist. He draws crazy cool art. I got him to do some work for me and I use it just everywhere now. It's really cool. But I told him, I was like, how many people realistically, how many clients can you handle a month? He's like, 6 to 8. I was like, we're going to go with 6 because I don't want to overload you or get you burnout. I was like, so in your sales page, we put in there because he has an application process because he's providing an art. He's doing service. It takes his time. So he can't, again, I told him, I was like, we have to do it this way because if you go and start marketing and like you put out a TikTok and it goes viral and everybody's like, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you have 15,000 people sign up and pay you for your art. I was like, that's great. You just made a lot of money. That's bad because for the next 8 years of your life, you're trying to play catch up on these orders. So we need to do an application funnel to slow down the traffic, to filter it through. Mm-hmm. And on the sales page, put on there, I only have enough spots for 6 people per month, you know, and then we, you know, that spins off on other ideas, how you can have like, hey, you could have recurring clients who pay you a premium. So they always have that spot locked in for a month, that kind of thing. It allows you to get more creative with it. But having those, like that limited availability option works with the application funnel and it works with adding that urgency because people know, hey, they can only handle X amount per month. I'm going to be one of their clients.
Yeah. And I think too many of us, at least if you've been in business for a little while, are getting a little tired of the old false urgency thing, right? And so I'm a big fan of like, we're going to be authentic and we're going to be honest about it, but we all have a cap and it's important to communicate that, right? Like absolutely. I take a limited number of one-on-one clients. I'm not going to take 20 clients every month. So if you want in, here's your chance.
Yeah. I mean, if there genuinely is no urgency in your business, say you're selling a course that is completely automated, you have no cap on anything, no cap on how many people you can have, they can sign up whenever they want, all that kind of stuff. There is no urgency. I recommend avoiding it because like you said, people see that false urgency. I see it all the time. And I'm like, I don't want to spend my money with you because I know you're trying to manipulate me.
Yes.
So I avoid it at all costs. Now, there are things you can do. Like if I were to sell a course, personally, what I would do is I would only have it available for like 3 or 4 days a month. And I would do whether it's like a challenge or a webinar or something. And then open up the cart for a few reasons. One, it does add urgency because, hey, I only allow people to buy my course for X amount of days per month during this window. So you'll get known. People will know, hey, if I want to join their course, I have to sign up on the end of the month when they do their webinar. Mm-hmm. But two, it adds the urgency, but it's not fake urgency because there's a lot that comes in, especially if you have like a Facebook group. You want to get all these people through orientation. You want them to feel welcomed. You want to give them attention and nurture them and help them. You know, like I said, it's, for me, it's all about relationships. So you don't want to just have 30,000 people come in and come through your course because then you'll have to deal with all the headaches of all of that. Whereas if you just have like a short window, it adds urgency and allows you to onboard those people correctly.
Yeah. And in the end, we're serving, right? This is what we want to do. Absolutely. We want to serve people and give them great results. And we can do that only if we're not so overwhelmed.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk for a second about what a simple funnel for a coach would look like. We've got a new coach. She's working on building a website. What do you recommend she start with to start getting people funneled into her sales funnel?
So yeah, I would start with, you want to grow your email list. That is the game. That is business. That is the name of the game. So create something easily digestible, but extremely valuable. So you don't want to go out and write a 200-page ebook. Yeah. I saw this recently. This guy on TikTok. I do this all the time where I'll see people creating content on TikTok and has like 2 likes. Now I'm one of those people, but like I like to like funnel hack and I want to see what their offer is. So I went and he's like, oh, download my ebook. It's totally free. I was like, sweet. Went to his website or his funnel, downloaded it, and he's like, free ebook comes with a free course. I was like, cool. So I downloaded the ebook and I opened it up, started reading, and I was on page like 3, and I'm like, this is like, where's the meat of this? Cause like he's telling stories, which is cool, but like what kind of ride am I in here for? So I started scrolling. It's 188-page ebook. And I'm like, this is a free thing. I am not that committed I don't know who this is. I am a very cold lead to this person, not that committed. I literally closed it and had never opened it back up. I never even opened the course. For all I know, that course could have made me $10 million. Never opened it because it overwhelmed me. Mm. So if you're a new coach, you're trying to get in the door, create something valuable and easily digestible. So like, I mean, depending on what kind of coach you are, whatever your niche is, say you're a health coach, you're trying to help people get in shape. You've worked with other people. You know people, the problems people have. You say, hey, here are the top five things I've seen people use to get over their sweet tooth.
Mm.
And put that in a PDF and give them that. And it can be a one page. Some of the best lead magnets are literally one page PDFs, but it drops that value. Mm-hmm. So that way it's like, yeah, I've got a crazy sweet tooth. If you can tell me what I can do to not want to eat those Girl Scout Samoa cookies just in bulk, then I want that PDF because I want to know what I can do to trick my brain to not wanting that.
Yeah.
So high value, easily digestible. Then you go on to the higher ticket stuff. If you want to create monthly recurring revenue as a coach, if you want to get into that model, I would suggest diving more deeper into something like the Lynchpin book from Russell Brunson, lynchpinbook.com. You get it for free plus shipping. That's how Russell Brunson does all his stuff.
There's his funnel for his books. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's always free plus shipping. So it's like $7 or $9, something like that, to get the book. But basically it shows you the plan on how to create monthly recurring revenue in your business. So you don't have to worry about getting clients every month.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And I'm so glad you brought up the concept of not overwhelming them, because as an expert, it's so easy to want to just fire hose your audience, right? Like, I just want to desperately help everybody. And let me just teach you everything I know so that you can find success.
And that is one thing I really want to tip my hat to you, because you're such a great interviewer, because I do that so often, but your questions are so great that it's helping me rein that in, because I constantly find myself word vomiting and just overwhelming people, basically. And that doesn't help anybody. You want to keep people focused and where they're at. You want to meet them where they're at.
Yes, exactly. It is so easy for us with just all this passion and all this knowledge to want to give it all at once. And it's so important to remember that only makes them confused and then they leave. And the one page PDF, I think, can help us remember, first of all, that we are an expert. I see this a lot too, because again, I deal with mindset. A lot of coaches are like, well, I don't know if I have enough to teach people, or I don't know if I'm, you know, qualified enough to do this thing. One solution, right? We're just giving them one solution at the beginning. And then we realize, oh my gosh, I have so much more than this to give. We give them that one chunk, and then they're so thrilled that they want to know the next step, right? And that's probably the biggest challenge, I would say, as an expert, is to break it down into these incremental, easily to digest chunks of knowledge, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the great things about being an entrepreneur, is like, you can step back and say, okay, what questions am I constantly seeing? Who's asking the questions? What are they constantly, repeatedly asking? And answer that with your free thing. Like I said, you want that thing. You don't want it to be just some throwaway PDF. You want it to be really valuable.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the tech really quickly. Okay. So let's say that I am just starting. I have a basic website and I have an email service provider. What would you suggest I use? What kind of tech stack is this going to look like to create a really basic funnel?
Yeah. I mean, if you already have a website, like I said, use the pages in your website. Now, if you're like, Matt, I have no idea where to even begin with building a funnel, and I feel like a lot of people out there are that way. I was that way at one point. Take the One Funnel Away Challenge by ClickFunnels. So they give you free 30-day access to ClickFunnels, to a ClickFunnels account, so you can do it all in there. Again, you don't need to do that. If you already have something you paid for and you're like, I'm keeping it cheap, then go sign up and build it on your own platform. Just follow the steps. We walk through everything from like who your target audience is and what to say and what emails to write and what to say in those emails. Mm, it's fully comprehensive, over 30 days of value.
Yeah. So
if you're just getting started, I would suggest going and checking that out, because it helps a lot.
Yeah, that's a great tip, because I do see that people, even if they do set up the tech, like the pages themselves, then it's like, well, what do the emails look like? And how do I not scare them away? And where's the appropriate time to start selling, right? And what do I say? So I love that. That's a great tip. And even if they choose not to stay with ClickFunnels, they can then go replicate it with their own stuff.
Exactly. I mean, basically all you need is that website and then a way to send emails. So I've used ConvertKit, I've used MailChimp, all those kind of things, just a way to send your emails, basically.
Yeah. One thing I've seen and have helped some coaches do is they will just take their email service provider and just use the landing page that's built in there. And that's their that's the page that they're sending people to. And it's maybe, you know, some slightly different custom URL, right? With your name.com/whatever freebie or something. And that's where you're sending all your traffic. So that's the other question I would ask you is like, let's say I do have a website and I'm creating this funnel on another page. So do I send all my traffic to my freebie page then?
Yep. Every bit of traffic goes to that freebie page. Like I said, you don't want them to land on the website. The website's there, in my opinion. In the ClickFunnels world, we call them funnel hubs, not websites, because the point of them is to drive any organic traffic that lands there to a funnel, because that's where you want them. Because Gary Vaynerchuk, he says that money is the oxygen to your business. Your business needs money to survive. That's the point. Yeah. So everything needs to be going to the funnels because you need to be making money. You're, again, if you go out of business because you are too afraid to sell people things, then you're doing a disservice to the people that you could have helped.
Yeah.
So send all of your traffic to that funnel because you want to grow that list and you want to be able to sell them things so you can help them more.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. I always remind people too, especially when the mindset comes up and we get all dramatic about what we do or don't know or how we can help people. It's not about us. It's not about what we do or don't know. It's about how these, our audience is suffering, right? They're not making money or they're not getting the results that you have to offer. And if we can put ourselves kind of, you know, set aside our own insecurities and just give them what they need, then we're able to, like you say, give the oxygen to our business to continue to grow and continue to serve. Okay. So now that we've got our basic funnel set up, we're going to try this out. We're going to test some things. How are we getting people in the top of our funnel? What do you recommend for getting those cold leads to even land on that page?
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of touched on it earlier. So there's three types of traffic. There's earned, owned, and bought traffic. So earned traffic is the TikTok account, the Instagram account, the Facebook account. It's all those places where you've put in work, you know, podcast listeners. It's where you've put in work, but you don't control the traffic. If TikTok decides tomorrow, hey, I'm changing the algorithm and you're going to be stuck in 200 view jail now, you don't control that. So you've earned the traffic, but it's not your traffic. It's great, but yeah, you get it. So that's the earned traffic. The bought traffic is ads. So you want to go on Facebook and set up an ad or TikTok, or maybe you want to put an ad in a newspaper or on a billboard or whatever. You're buying that traffic to send to your funnel. And then there's owned traffic. That is your email list. That is, you know, Google can change their SEO algorithm tomorrow and every day from here on out, you're still able to send that email to your client, to your contact. You're still able to get in touch with them. You know, TikTok can completely ban you from the platform, but you have an email list. You can still get in touch with people. So that's why that earned list is the most powerful. But if you're trying to get people into your list, you have nothing. Say you have no owned list at this point. You have no email list. Go and create content for one. Just be putting out consistent content daily. Be putting out stuff, answering the questions that people are having. When you put stuff out on TikTok or YouTube or Instagram or whatever, and people go in the comments and they ask questions, write that down because that's another piece of content. You know, that could turn into a lead magnet or a piece of a course or a piece of content for tomorrow. And then collaborate with people. I found this to be the biggest help. So I had a podcast back in the day. I've had a couple podcasts. The podcast that was the biggest for me is the one that I had guests on because it was a collaboration and I would have the guest on. They'd share their value. They'd get to connect with my audience. I'd get to connect with their audience because after the show, they're going to want to go and share that because they're like, hey, like for me, whenever you send me this episode, I'm going to share it with my audience because I want them to see more of me. It gives me more content to put out, but it also is going to help you grow your listenership. It's going to help you grow your fan base. So it's a mutually exclusive thing. So go out there and be a guest on a bunch of podcasts or collaborate with YouTubers in your niche or, you know, whatever it is, work with other people because you want to be where your target audience is already congregating. If you have no audience, you have to go to where they are.
Yes. I love that you brought this up. And so many of us, I mean, free content on social media is so essential, but we forget that we are always at the mercy of Zuckerberg or whoever's creating these algorithms, right? And sometimes they work great for us and sometimes they don't. And so just putting content out and hoping people come to find you because you use the right hashtag or whatever is kind of a crapshoot. So getting in front of these other people's audiences is so crucial. And one thing I will mention that I love, which is why I love collaborations as well, is when you get in front of somebody else's audience, you have that additional boost of the know, like, and trust factor of the person you're collaborating with, right? It's not like you're just getting cold leads from somebody else's list. You didn't just steal their list, but you're getting their stamp of approval. They're saying, hey, this girl's got some stuff to teach you. This guy's really smart. Listen to him. And they're so much more likely to become a warm lead because they've gotten kind of that stamp of approval for you.
Absolutely. I love that. I mean, it's that credibility that you're borrowing their credibility from them that they have with their audience. So yeah, it
right.
helps you get that instant credibility. I love that.
Right. Okay. This is, we could talk all day about this, but I want to have one last question for you specifically about ads, because I know I have a lot of coaches that are terrified of ads. They just think they're going to dump money into it and nothing's going to come out of it, which can happen sometimes for sure. But what tips do you have for us if we're like, all right, it's time to run some ads. How do I make sure I'm not going to waste my money?
It's kind of a culmination of everything we've talked about today. Honestly, you want to create curiosity. So you want to spark that in them. Be like, I have to know more about this thing. What is happening over here? How is this going to help me? It's like, this seems really interesting. You don't want to confuse people. So you have to kind of walk that line of creating curiosity without confusion. Cause like we've said, confused mind always says no. So if your ad is not clear, if they don't know what they're landing on, if they don't know what they're going to get when they click that link, they're not going to care. If it's not interesting, if you're doing video, you got like 1 to 2 seconds in the beginning to grab their attention. So do something crazy. Like I've worked with a guy named Steve Larson. He has this one ad that's outperforming all of his other ads right now. I edit his videos for him. He takes a stop sign and he holds it up in front of the camera. And the first second of the video is him going, stop, and like moving the stop sign so you can see his face. We have captions on there. So as people are scrolling, they don't always, the videos aren't going to autoplay with sound. So add captions. And in that first second, have content. So that way they see the words on the screen, because your brain will automatically read those words and it triggers something in you where you're like, oh, I want to read that.
Somebody told me to stop. Okay, I better stop.
Exactly. So, and it grabs their attention. So then you can provide the value and show them how this thing is great for them, why they need to click on this and go over to your funnel and download the thing. So yeah. And like you said, ads can be a waste of money. Personally, I don't do a ton of ads. And when I do, I hire somebody else to do it for me, because especially the Facebook platform, it's not user friendly. It's not, like, you got to know what you're doing over there. Like, I ran some ads last year and I'm like, I'm just going to turn it on and see what happens. And actually I got leads from it. Like, even with me having very little knowledge of how the platform works, I got leads. Yeah. So it's all about that creativity and, you know, using that platform how it wants to be used.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you brought up funnel hacking too, because I, for those who don't understand or know that term, basically we're just watching other people's funnels and taking what works and what catches our attention and using it ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, there's the catch of like, you don't want to steal what somebody else is doing, obviously. But if you see, like, my buddy Steve Larson has the stop sign, he says, stop. He's using that for his niche. All of you out there probably have not seen his video where he does that. You could go on Amazon, buy one of the little crossing guard stop signs right now and start your ad that same exact way. More than likely, nobody's going to see a crossover. They're not going to make that correlation. And I've seen other people use that same method because they got it from Steve. So hack what other people are doing that works. Don't steal it. Like, don't, if you steal somebody's funnel word for word and you're like, I'm going to give their course away, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody out there understands that, but I just like to make sure I cover my bases here. But yeah, hack what's working. Go to people's funnels and say, okay, they're giving away a lead magnet of a webinar replay. And this is how they're positioning. This is how they're adding urgency to this thing. I really like that. And, you know, you can look at their business and say, okay, they have a lot of people active, engaging with them. They're making a lot of money. They're over, you know, they're growing. They're getting a lot of sales. You can kind of follow them and see who's doing work that's working, you know, and then just use their methods that they're using in your own business.
Yes. I tell my clients a lot too, like, think about the last customer journey that you went through and just write it down. Yeah. Like, we do it so automatically now as consumers that we don't even realize what's going on until you become a marketer. And then you're like, oh, interesting. I just clicked on that. You know, what made me click? What made me stop? What made me purchase? What was I feeling? What was I thinking? Yes. What results did I think I was going to get out of it? So fun to poke around the internet. Like, I love watching ads now. They used to drive me crazy. And now I'm like, ooh, what are they going to say? And oh, that's interesting. He didn't really hook me at the beginning. I'm not invested, right? So kind of fun to poke around the internet and learn.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. I mean, I love funnel hacking and just seeing what other people are doing. Like you said, once you get in there and you get in that mindset of like, why did I click that? What's going on here? Like, I do that all the time now. It's like, what is working here? And like, even on like their upsell pages and all this, it's like, oh, that's such a good idea. And like, how can I use that in my own business? What can I spin that as for myself?
Yeah,
it's really fun.
Yeah. And diving into that psychology, like, what am I thinking and feeling? How can I make my potential clients think and feel the same thing?
I love that.
Okay, Matt. marketing nerds. We could talk about this all day long, but thank you so much for your expertise. Please tell our listeners where they can find you, social media, what's your website funnel you want to send us to. Give us the information.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to focusedfunnelbuilders.com/OFA, that is going to take you to a funnel. You can go funnel hack me and you can see this. So I absolutely love this because whenever I share this, it's with other funnel building people and it's so meta. So go there, check out my funnel, funnel hack me. It is an offer for the One Funnel Away Challenge. The challenge we talked about where you can go and you can learn how to build your business and build your funnels so you can start making money. You know, I've seen people take this challenge and by the end of the 30 days, they're making money in their funnel. Again, not an income claim, but it is possible. I've seen people do it. So if you go there, I give you a bunch of extra free goodies too. So I facilitate these One Funnel Away Challenge calls. I'm one of the facilitators in the room every day. Just got off one right before this podcast. I see where people get hung up. So I give bonuses to help people not get hung up. So you go there, you sign up, it's all free. You literally can take the challenge for free. You can get my goodies for free. It doesn't cost you time. You get 30 days of ClickFunnels for free. It's like the elite treatment that you get, but you can also see how I'm using it. So basically pull back the curtain because you guys are all business builders and funnel hackers. That's an affiliate offer. That is what's called a bridge funnel. So you go there, you click in, you sign up, you put your email in there. It grows my email list. So that's one part I'm doing, but it's also, I have to have it because I have to give you access to the stuff. But then when you go sign up for ClickFunnels, if you end up loving ClickFunnels and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the best platform in the world. I have to stay here. Now all my funnels are built here. I get 30% commission recurring revenue every month. So if you're out there and you don't have a product idea, and you're like, what do I start? You could literally go be an affiliate for ClickFunnels and make anywhere from $30 to $60 a month for everybody that you get to sign up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. We could talk affiliate commission all day long. Cause that is another super fun way to make some passive income, but oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing. And I love that you gave us a funnel to go look, go hack, go poke around and take a look at how you're doing things. And I'm just so excited for my coaches to dive into this and frankly, make it a little bit less personal. Does that make sense? I don't want it to sound like it's cold, but sometimes we make it so personal. Like again, with the coaching, like this is my personality and these are my skills and people don't want it. Really, we just need to tap into the psychology of what makes people stop, what makes people click, what are they feeling? What do they think they're going to get out of this? And take it off of like all this skills we think we don't have. We don't know how to sell or we don't know how to get somebody on the phone. And it doesn't have to be that difficult.
Yeah. It's not that people hate you. It's something's probably wrong with either your hook, your story, or your offer. So go look at those three things. Anytime you feel like people hate you and they're not converting, it's not because they don't like you. Trust me.
Perfect. All right. Awesome. Matt, thank you so much for being a guest. We so appreciate it. Can't wait to go make some more funnels.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been amazing.
Are you ready to get started on your dream business? Join Finding Your Side Hustle, my digital course that will guide you through discovering what it is you love and how to turn it into a family-friendly business. Are you ready for one-on-one support as a mom or entrepreneur? Schedule a free coaching call with me to work on the goals you have for your life, including business success, weight loss, or better relationships. I can't wait to help you make progress on your dreams.